This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
What's up, nerds? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. And on your smart speaker, reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. Be a part of Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You know, the kids say, keep that same energy. Keep that same energy, right? I was saying all year that Kawhi had supplanted LeBron as the best player in the world. But Kawhi wasn't even around to defend the crown, which, in fact, as it turns out, I was wrong. He'd never won. Look, LeBron didn't get a chance to play in the postseason last year. And in recent years, actually until AD challenged him to start playing defense more intensely throughout the regular season, LeBron took it easy on defense and picked and chose when he was going to step on the gas, even on the offensive end, because he was saving himself for a long, arduous season and playoffs. When you live in the finals, you play like an extra season every year, an extra, you know, good portion of a season at least. And he, you know, this is his 10th finals. So, but with the playoffs, he always had his chance to remind everyone, no, when it counts, I'm still the best, which means I'm still the best. He didn't have that chance, and it wasn't like Kawhi just kind of played okay. He played out of this world last playoffs. So I said the whole year, look, I want to hear, I don't want to hear excuses when Kawhi beats LeBron in the Western Conference Finals and goes on to win a championship. But as the kids say, keep that same energy. I was wrong. LeBron, Kawhi never even made it. LeBron is still the best player in the world, and he showed it again last night. You know, in boxing, Muhammad Ali was the undefeated, undisputed heavyweight champion of the world when he refused induction into the armed forces in 1967. And the United States revoked his passport. He didn't have a license to box. No one would sanction his fights. Almost 4 years out of the game. In that time, even though Ali was the undefeated champ, never lost it in the ring, Joe Frazier was ascending, and another Olympic champion. Ali was the light heavyweight champion, gold medalist in 1960. Frazier, the heavyweight in 64. And Frazier beat all these fighters in this heavyweight tournament in Ali's absence and won the title. And so some people are saying, look, Ali doesn't have the belt anymore, but he's still the people's champ. And some people say, oh, Frazier's got the belt, and Frazier's the champ now, so they had the fight of the century, 1971, to see who was the champ, in fact. Frazier beat Ali, and I thought that's what Kawhi was going to do to LeBron, the people's champ, right? Not that Kawhi was better than LeBron in LeBron's prime, but LeBron wasn't in his prime anymore. But that's not what happened. In this case, Joe Frazier didn't even make it through the tournament, and Ali regained his crown. LeBron James is back on top because he wasn't in the playoffs last year, but in a larger sense, he never lost his title as best player on earth, and he showed it again last night. Yes, Vogel deserves credit for putting Anthony Davis on Jimmy Butler. Anthony Davis deserves credit for being able to guard Jimmy Butler. I mean, come on. Anthony Davis is a power forward, right? Maybe one day he could challenge Tim Duncan as the greatest power forward ever. But if you're a power forward who blocks shots, are you a power forward or a center? I don't know. Tim Duncan's one of the greatest centers of all time and is the greatest power forward of all time. I suspect that's how we're going to think of Anthony Davis, more or less, by the time he's done. But one of the things he can do is guard perimeter players on an elite level. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, in this era also, pick and roll defense, so important. Who plays it better among seven-footers or quasi, you know, like near seven-footers than Anthony Davis? Just the fact that he can chase Jimmy Butler around and do that kind of job on him while doing everything else offensively you want him to do. So, like, Vogel deserves props. AD deserves props. Rondo deserves props. Not a big statistical performance. At least not in the traditional counting numbers, points, rebounds, and assists. But playoff Rondo's at it again. And why is playoff Rondo at it again? You know, Raj, I thought a lot about this. Why? Remember I mentioned how I asked Don Mattingly when I was in L.A. and he was in and he was the Dodgers skipper. But he was a great Yankee. At his best, he was the best player in baseball before a back injury robbed him of his prime. But I, you know, when he finally got to the playoffs in 95, first time in his career, he tore the cover off the ball. And as it turns out, that was the last, those were the last professional baseball games he'd ever play. Tore the cover off the ball. And I asked him, how did you, small sample size, but how did you elevate under pressure? There are some guys who stay the same. There are some guys who elevate. And his answer was interesting. And I've mentioned it on the show before. He said, if you can just stay the same, you know, other guys feel pressure. And I'm like, hold on. There are guys like Derek Jeter and Kobe Bryant, and for most of his career, Tom Brady, who get out of proportion credit for being clutch when, in fact, they just stay themselves. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about dudes who get even better under pressure. Look at LeBron's regular season. Look at his playoffs. You know, you have to give him, you know, excuse him for that collapse against Dallas. He was still figuring it all out. But throughout his career, LeBron James, who last I checked had the second highest PER in the history of basketball for his career to Michael Jordan, his PER got even better. Like, so points, rebounds, assists, efficiency, all that stuff got even better in the playoffs. Clearly his defense does. So how does the best normally get even better, not stay the same, get even better? And Mattingly said, well, that's what I mean. If you can stay the same, you can take advantage of the fact that others will not, and therefore increase your production. I thought that was really a thoughtful and interesting answer. What explains Rondo, though? Playoff Rondo. So I was thinking more about it. What distinguishes Rondo as a player? It's his basketball brain, really. I mean, he learned how to shoot the ball a little better as his career went along. Of course, in this era, you're going to. But it's his basketball brain. In other words, Rondo knows all the plays. He knows all the plays. And in the regular season, that's less important because it's more freestyle basketball. Not enough, you know, the coaches aren't showing off in the regular season. Other than, like, plays out of timeouts and stuff. But there's not as too many games. There's not enough time to prepare. All this stuff during the regular season. In the playoffs, when in the higher leverage moments, it's more of a coach's kind of situation. And Rondo's a coach on the floor. He knows all the plays. And so that gives him an advantage. His basketball brain is a special advantage in the playoffs. But so is LeBron's. So props to Vogel. Props to AD. Props to Rondo. But the biggest props is to LeBron James. And I'll tell you why. In the history of the NBA, the greatest leader was Bill Russell. Bill Russell played in 21 deciding games in his career, college and pro, amateur and pro, 21 deciding games. When you get to a deciding game, especially in a seven-game series, the teams are evenly matched. Almost always, the team with the best player wins. So what was Bill Russell's record in those deciding games? Like, was he 15-6? Was he 17-4? That'd be great, right? Was he 19-3? Six times plus more likely to win than lose? No. In 21 deciding games, Bill Russell was 21-0. That's why he has more rings as a player than anyone else. And yes, he was on better teams. It's true. But look at his numbers in Game 7. Well, if Wilt had the same teams that Bill Russell has, I don't think so. I don't think so. Bill Russell was putting up numbers in Game 7s like 30 points with 40 boards. When it mattered most, Bill Russell played his best and was able to lead a group to the promised land again and again and again. I'd say in the history of the NBA, you'd have to say Bill Russell's the greatest leader. In the history of the modern NBA, Tim Duncan was a great leader for sure. Magic Johnson was a great leader. I'm not just talking about like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, who were singularly great players. I mean guys who could also get the collective to overperform. I think you have to say LeBron's the greatest leader in the history, in the modern history of the NBA. He figures out a way to lead a group of guys, not always to win the finals. He's been in 10. He's about to win his fourth. Now, Kareem was in 10, although he straddled both eras, you know, the old NBA and the modern NBA. Call that the absorption of the ABA teams and the adoption of the three-point shot, right? If that's a pretty good delineation. So LeBron went to 10 and won 4. Kareem 10 and won 6. But LeBron is the point guard or the point forward and clearly the guy orchestrating the offense on every team, even when he played with Kyrie. LeBron James is able to live in the finals because he knows how to lead, and he did it again. And so what? So this is all, that's all prologue. This is the payoff. Props to Vogel for his adjustments. Props to AD for the defense. He's even able to play on a wing player, a combo guard, backcourt player like Jimmy Butler. Props to Rondo for always elevating in the playoffs. It's uncanny. But the biggest props go to LeBron James. Why? Remember the Portland series? Portland was coming in as this hot team, at least offensively. Damian Lillard has that championship smell about him. Marcellus Wiley, back on Max and Marcellus, used to say the championship cologne. Some players, you just feel it on them, even if they haven't indeed justified it, like Chris Paul. But Damian Lillard is one of those players. And can they be this scrappy team? No, 4-1. Done. Next series for the Lakers. I even forgot. Who they play in the second round? Raj, who the Lakers play in the second round? I already forgot it. I can't even remember who the Lakers played in the second round. Could you believe that? Denver, of course. Yeah. How many rounds are they playing? I'm having them in my head play 5 rounds. The point is, Denver is this. No, it wasn't Denver in the second round. Denver was their conference finals opponent. Who'd they play in the second round? See what I mean? The playoffs is so long in the NBA, I've literally had my mind wiped. Whoever it was a 4-1 series. It wasn't the Clippers. Clippers got the Mavericks and then fell to Denver. Oh, Houston. Do they have the best combination in the league, right? Westbrook and Harden. That went fast. I vaguely remember that series. I don't really remember it, Raj. it happened fast. And now, and then Denver, this scrappy team. Right? Denver, this overachieving team, but with two MVP caliber players on it. Jamal Murray, before our eyes, transforming himself. Raj is giving me a signal. I can't see what you're sending me, Raj. It's interrupting the entire flow of everything. What are you saying, Roger? I can't hear.
Tell my mic is down.
Oh, your mic isn't working. What are you trying to tell me, Raj?
I can't talk to you.
Okay. He's trying to tell me he can't talk to me. That was important to interrupt the flow. I spent 12 minutes assiduously building so carefully to this dramatic reveal about why LeBron is, and then I blank on the second round opponent, nothing from you. And then you interrupt me when I get back into my flow by telling me that you can't talk to me. Thank you for that. So the point is, Damian Lillard, scrappy Portland, no dice. Houston, is it their year? No, it's not. The Denver Nuggets have me scared as a Lakers fan. I saw what they just did to the Clippers. And you had two guys performing on the level of Jamal Murray and Jokic. That was going to be a problem. And sure enough, Denver wins a game. And then there are a couple of games where they look like, oh, here it comes. Here comes that Denver avalanche, right? Nope. LeBron put them right back in their place. And it happened again last night. I mean, we're talking as though this series is over, because we all know it is. Even if the Heat manage to win another game, which I don't think they will, the series is over. But last night, here they come. Ooh, this Heat team won't go away. It's a one-possession game. It's a tie game. We're talking about the fourth quarter. No. When you have LeBron James on your team, he's got that. Don't worry about that. There's not going to be any upsets like that. When LeBron has had a chance in his career, he, not always, but almost always wins. He had a good chance against the Spurs when the Heat played the Spurs in his last season in Miami, and they lost that series. And the first time, like go over LeBron James's career. First one with the Cavs, amazing that they got there. Nothing but credit to LeBron. First one with the Heat, they should have won. He choked, but he was still figuring things out. Okay, now put that aside for a second, because he's been to eight more. He won back-to-back, and then the first one he lost where they when he was fully formed as a player, in his prime, had been through that experience with Wade, whose team is it, all that, it was the Spurs in his last season in Miami, he lost. That was one maybe he could have won that he lost, but the Spurs were one of the greatest teams of all time. They played like perfect basketball. Then he goes back to Cleveland. No Kyrie and no Kevin Love. This dude takes the unstoppable Warriors six games with Matthew Dellavedova as his second best player. Clearly the MVP. Iguodala got it because he played defense on LeBron, and people are too scared to give a player from the losing team MVP. Like they did it for Jerry West once upon a time. But they didn't do it for LeBron. They should have in that series. But okay, Iguodala got it. But unbelievable. Six games against the Warriors with no Kyrie or Kevin Love. It's ridiculous. It's a joke. It's a joke. Next year he comes back. He faces a 73-win Warriors team and beats them. And then the Warriors get KD. He's not going to beat a KD. Like, 73-win team that it took a miracle for LeBron in his greatest moment to win a seventh game at Oracle, in the greatest comeback probably in the history of basketball when you consider the team he was playing. And then that team that he could barely squeak by, and Draymond had to get ejected and Iguodala had to go down with injury, and all these things had to happen for LeBron to squeak by that team. Because they were so loaded. Then you just add KD. Come on, I'm not holding that against LeBron. I'll tell you this. He was the best player in the series, clearly, the first time he hooked up with KD on Golden State. And the second time, I would probably argue LeBron was still the best player, but you had a better argument for KD that time. Every time the guy has a realistic chance, just about, he wins. Because you can throw away the first Cavs one, and the one that's really a problem for LeBron is that first Heat team. But okay, let's just assume he's not really there yet, really understanding fully what it takes. So that's two out of the 10. So if he's about to win his fourth, it means he's lost six, right? And then the one against the Spurs, okay, they got beaten by a better team. And the three against the Warriors, they're all excusable. Like, as I said, the first one, he just deserves credit. He wasn't playing with any other All-Stars. And the second two, no one has, who's going to beat that Warriors team? Stop. If you give him a little daylight, he's out. Did not allow these teams back in. Didn't allow the Nuggets back in. Didn't allow the Heat back in. Do you understand? If you have a different all-time great other than LeBron. And I know I've said a lot about, look, two top five players almost always win the championship. It's true. But take LeBron off, put someone else on. What happens when Denver starts making that run? We saw it with Kawhi. I hate to say it because I was a big Kawhi, and I am a big Kawhi supporter, but couldn't do it. Heat making this comeback. Jimmy Butler's the story and everything. Nope. He's about to go 4-1 against the West. Well, 4-1. He already did against the Western Conference. But he's about to go 4-1 in every series coming out of the West to win a championship. I thought the West was supposed to slow LeBron up. I think the best version of LeBron as a player physically was his second championship in Miami. But this will be his greatest accomplishment this season. Well, he has a lot of them. That win against the Warriors, the 73-win Warriors, was amazing. But at his age to be doing this, it's unbelievable. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Are the latest COVID cases, and there are a bunch of them, going to put this NFL season at risk? Coming up, Max Kellerman Show. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Some EPMD. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Yep, Raj, anytime you stop playing with the screen, I'll be... All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Damn, you're having quite a day so far, Raj.
Yep. Yeah, I brought my megaphone to work, too. Check this out. I got a megaphone. Remember how the Beastie Boys did a couple songs for the megaphone?
I do remember,
I brought it to
work
today.
Oh, very good. Yeah. For a chance to win 10 grand plus a virtual meet and greet with the Dan Lebatard Show gang, text Lebatard, LEBATARD, to 77333. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Limit one entry per day. See AdvanceAutoParts.com for details. So, the Patriots cornerback, Stephon Gilmore, tests positive for COVID-19. It was first reported by NFL Network. It was confirmed by ESPN. ESPN's Dan Graziano. Stephon Gilmore has tested positive for COVID-19, and so... The Patriots have canceled their Wednesday practice. Cam Newton, of course, has tested positive. All the Chiefs' tests came back negative Wednesday morning, a source tells ESPN's Dan Graziano. Now, I was under the impression, because you hear a lot of stuff and the information sometimes changes, I was under the impression that negative, false negatives were rare, but in fact, they're much more common than I was led to believe, talking to some people who professed to know and reading up on it. They're much more common than I thought a couple weeks ago even. And the issue is that before the virus, you know, people can be asymptomatic, meaning you don't appear sick. And the flu, that period of being asymptomatic, you're contagious, but you don't feel sick, is pretty short. COVID can go on for days and days and days and days where you don't show symptoms, but you're contagious. It's a much longer asymptomatic period than the flu, making it trickier to catch, but also leading to false negatives on tests at times. Meaning the virus hasn't replicated itself enough in you yet to be detected. And so, no, you don't have it, and then you think you're good, you're on your way. In fact, the New York Times reported yesterday that part of the White House, you know, everyone, the White House is just ravaged by COVID. And part of the, well, a lot of problems, but one of them was that they had a flawed strategy of being overly reliant on one lab's negative test results. And negative tests made them think, oh, we're good. And so they weren't wearing masks. They weren't social distancing. You've seen, I'm sure, the images all over the news. Fundraisers and events, and it's spreading around. Well, the point is you need a multi-pronged approach to fighting COVID, to crushing the curve, at least flattening it and then crushing it. So you test all the time, but you also, even if it comes back negative, wear a mask, socially distance, wash your hands a lot, and all that stuff, right? And apparently at the White House, it's like, oh, we're testing, we're good. No, you're not. Now everyone's got it. The NFL's got to be, like, players in the NFL have to be careful. just because the test comes back negative, as it turns out, you might still have it. So it's not enough just to test. You have to socially distance. You have to wear masks. You have to be super careful. And by the way, right now it's on the rise again. But when it starts to flatten and when the curve starts to actually go down, right, we all get a little lax. It's human nature. You know, we feel like, oh, we got this. Especially if irresponsible politicians are trying to create a sense of normalcy to get the economy going in an election year. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, we're going to do all these things. Calm down. Like, there's no guarantee you got. First of all, when they started this, I was like, 0% chance the NFL gets through its season. Because I wasn't hearing any grown-up talk from the NFL. I was hearing a lot about how they don't want to lose money. But I wasn't hearing, like, what's the plan here? Do you have a centralized or several centralized locations and then you can cut down on travel and teams can go into a bubble? No. Really? Well, are you going to limit the number of games? No. We're going to play full 16-game season. We're not going to have any bubbles. And not only that, we want fans. Doesn't sound like it's going to work. But tests became more and more available. Results came back quicker and quicker. It was easier to get your hands on large batches of tests and not take them away for people like for whom it's vitally important that you get those tests, outbreak areas, and so you could ethically do it, right? And some tests got cheaper. And they seem to be pulling it off. It's not going to be easy. Like, the NBA is about to crown a champion, but the NBA was almost done with their season. And it's not like they just said, it's business as usual. They stopped playing. And when they started, they got buy-in from the players. We're going to leave our families for weeks and weeks. We're going to enter a bubble, strictly enforced. If you leave, you get kicked out, right? Like, you can't play. And since our regular season's almost over, we do want that local TV money because the contracts kicked in after like 72 or 73 games, whatever it was. So they played the minimum number of games required so that everyone's local TV money kicked in. They did not invite all teams to the bubble. They said this year's just going to be a little different. Got through, by the way, and then they didn't finish the regular season, just enough to get the money, but not even a single game more than necessary. They did not finish their regular season. They put like 9 or 10 games fewer than the 82 they normally play. And then they start the playoffs with no fans. Yeah, and since they were almost done with their regular season, they got to get their local TV money to have their cake and eat it too, right? And play it, but bubble, no fans, no families for the regular season. Not all the teams came back. It was like, so I thought, okay, they have a good shot. Major League Baseball, they couldn't get the players to buy into a bubble idea. So they said, okay, 60 games, almost one-third of the normal season. And then for the playoffs, like, we need to have some kind of quasi-bubble situation. It looks like they're going to crown a champion. The NFL was like, nah, no bubble, no games off the regular season, and we want fans. Didn't sound realistic to me. Nevertheless, they went forward. They've done better than I thought they could do. As I said, partly because the technology improved, delivered more readily available and accessible tests without taking them away from people who needed them. And now the tests have gotten to the point where you can get quicker results. So all that's great. However, if people think this is going to be a regular season, all teams are going to get through all 16 games, I don't see it. I think the NFL is going to have to remain very flexible about this. Maybe you go to winning percentages instead of maybe not everyone plays the same number of games. I really think fans in the stands are a bad idea. All the health experts who are credible are telling you it's going to get worse in the winter, which coincides with flu season. We're heading into the cold months now. And by the way, learn from baseball. If you have to make an adjustment on the fly, do some kind of quasi or semi-bubble situation, do it. If you have to lose some regular season games, like off the schedule, do it. And if you do those things, you can actually finish this football season, which I think is like still more, it's less likely. It's under a 50-50 proposition to me still. But I have to say, so far, they're at the quarter pole already. Most teams, not all teams, they've had to cancel some games, but most teams have played a quarter of the season already. It's pretty good. this was inevitable. And the NFL had to know that there was going to be some positive tests. But, like, given the, to me, it's shockingly high percentage of false negatives, you just don't know. That's why you're like, why cancel the game? If only because you don't know. Just because the tests come back, well, only this player has it. Yeah, test them again in a couple days. Maybe actually more have it than you know. Better to be safe than sorry. And from the fans' point of view, everybody, you just have to keep in mind, perfect is the enemy of the good. You want football, yes or no? It ain't going to be like every other season. I highly doubt there will be all teams will play 16 games. Wheezy in Philadelphia. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's up, Max? How you doing?
Oh, you really are Wheezy.
Yeah, my name Wheezy West. I just saw you talking about the Lakers in the Miami Heat game.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk about the MVP of the finals.
LeBron James or Anthony Davis?
I'm saying Anthony Davis.
Well, you have a very good case for Anthony Davis. In fact, I said before the finals started, LeBron has to recognize AD is a weapon for which, on both ends of the floor, the Heat shouldn't have an answer. And he's got to use AD appropriately. And AD could very well wind up winning MVP of the finals. Doesn't mean he's actually the most valuable player on the Lakers. Boy, Wheezy. I don't know what you're doing calling sports talk shows. You got to rest that voice. Someone's not getting enough credit. Wait a minute. Someone not getting... Roger, I don't understand this tease. Someone not getting enough credit for Aaron Rodgers' play. I don't know what that means.
That's why it's a tease. It's beautiful.
You're
brilliant.
Teasing me. I can't wait to find out what this is about. All right, no doubts next. The Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Premium Plus Gasoline. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection for more than vehicles with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at progressivescommercial.com. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right. Let's hear it, Raj.
Ali sent me a megaphone to give a try today, so I'm gonna give it a try. Sent it to the FedEx. Got it this morning. Here we go. Josh Allen has leapfrogged Kyler Murray in that young gun QB club.
I'd just like to know who Josh Island is. Who's this Josh Island?
I said Island.
Are you making Josh fun of my Allen. Accent again? Josh Allen. What's the matter with you? Pronounce the name Allen. It's not a hard one.
I can't do it. Right. Yeah, it is.
Josh Island. Yes, Josh Allen is excuse me. No doubt. Josh Island has leapfrogged Kyler Murray. Yeah, Josh Allen is in the MVP conversation right now. Kyler Murray's not, no doubt.
All right. Take a listen to Jeff Saturday on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Go ahead, Alan.
Give Matt LaFleur a ton of credit, too. A lot of those throws last night, you know, he's throwing to backside of the backfield. Tight ends are wide open. These aren't he's having to throw guys open. These guys are open, and he's just putting the ball on, you know, he's putting the ball right where he should, and they're all making the plays that they should. But I think you got to give this whole, the staff, Aaron, this football team a lot of credit because these guys, they're executing at a level that you would put towards the latter part of the season in week four without preseason games, without all the stuff that we know has happened. Been very impressed with Rodgers and that Packers offense.
All right, Max. Matt LaFleur deserves credit for Aaron Rodgers' success as well.
You did it again. Matt LaFleur? Matt LaFleur!
LaFleur. I tried to do it in a French accent. LaFleur.
LaFleur. Matt LaFleur. Yeah. No doubt he deserves credit for some of Rodgers' success. Look, offensively, a coach is as good as he can scheme guys open. If there are guys, Jeff Saturday, of course, is right. If there are guys open, that means your offense is working. But here's the unfair thing, Aaron Rodgers doesn't need guys to be open. He doesn't even need to be that good. He can throw guys open. He can thread the needle down the field however you want it. So if you have Aaron Rodgers who can do that and guys are wide open, it's not even fair. That's why he has the highest QBR through week four of anyone in the history of tracking QBR since 2006. Next.
All right, check this out. Fans are signing a petition saying Kyle Kuzma shouldn't get a ring if the Lakers win a title. That's real.
Because?
Because they're saying he's not contributing, man. They're disappointed in him. They're saying he's holding him back. I know he had a decent game last night, but in general, there's a petition being signed, thousands of signatures already.
The reason Kuzma was had at the end of the first round is because he can be a nice player. The idea that he was part of some big three is laughable. Kuzma had no trade value, or he would have been dealt to the Pelicans in the deal for Anthony Davis. Kuzma is not yet, but eventually, a valuable rotation contributor, but has never performed at starter level. So, like, yeah, he should get a ring. Stop it, everybody. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. Hey, Dabo Swinney should leave Clemson for the NFL.
I mean, look, he has a great thing going. Excuse me. Nah, son. He has a great thing going at Clemson. Like, could you imagine a couple years ago someone told you, in a couple years, it won't be Alabama. The Alabama era is over. Like, whatever you want to say about, well, they're still one of the two best teams. Right now, we're in the Clemson-Alabama era. Or even if you want to put Alabama first, which I don't think you can, Alabama-Clemson era. But the days of Alabama reigning above college football are over. At the least, Clemson's there with them, if not overtaking them. He's got a good thing going, Dabo Swinney. I wouldn't mess with it.
All right, real quick. No matter who's coaching, the Dallas Cowboys culture is just too soft.
Nah, son. Soft. Nah. The Dallas Cowboys culture is dictated by Jerry Jones, who bought a shiny toy a bunch of years ago and was able to manipulate the salary cap rules early on, but since then has not been able to win. He's got to hire a real GM. Fire himself, hire a real GM. Who gets the most props for the Lakers' success?